Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane brings you a powerful sermon titled, When Ministry Becomes Idolatry, delivered at Westside Christian Fellowship. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place.
Did you know that ministry can become idolatry? And we can covet the calling of others. And so many times, you know, I've been guilty of this. I'm preaching to myself tonight. But so many times we can hide behind the excuse of, you know, it's my calling or my ministry or my gifting. And that can be a cloak that hides a deep sin issue. When ministry becomes idolatry. And I should define these really quickly. Idolatry, as many of you know, is putting anything before God. And how ministry can become an idol is it becomes in preference to God. And we focus on that instead of God. And then coveting, of course, most of us know what that is. It's desiring what someone else has and wanting that. And there's so many different levels of coveting and idolatry. There's so many different groups of people that listen to these messages, and it's hard to find what works for everyone, because in the Christian music industry or in popular Christianity, this is going to be really applicable, but it's also going to be applicable to those who maybe, you know, you want to start a ministry, or you want to be used of God, or you have a gifting of God. Most every Christian, I would say every Christian for us, has a, you just don't know what it is sometimes, but you have a gifting. God has gifted you for a particular thing. There's a bent to what God, how he has designed you. And what is so repulsive in the church is not the sinner caught in sin, but the coveting saint. The Christian who appears, you know, one way and is really another. It's hypocritical. And what's very interesting, I'm going to put this into an article too, everything here. And as I'm working on the article, I'm seasoning it with grace. I'm trying to find soft words, and it just, a couple hours into it, I realize God doesn't want me to do that in this case. And I think it's okay to say what God's word says, and we don't always have to worry about how it's going to come across, especially if we've gotten our own hearts right. And sometimes when we soften up what we want to say, it doesn't hit like God wants it to hit. And so again, I'll be putting all this in an article. But something, there's four scriptures I actually want to put up that I've been just focusing on all week, beginning in 1 Corinthians 1:29. And this is just a portion of that. No flesh should glory in God's presence. No flesh should glory in God's presence. In other words, when God is moving, if we start to take credit for that and look what we have done or look what I have done, and it can happen in all areas of ministry. You know, you hear the term I used before, prayer warrior. But the more you pray and the more people you see set free, you can start to get pretty proud of yourself. Even pastoring, correct? That's why I tell I was talking to a younger pastor, you know, make sure your critiques equal the compliments. In other words, make sure you're getting critiqued and you're getting humbled as much as people are praising you, because it has to balance out. No flesh should glory in his presence. Philippians 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. In your Christian walk, did you know that Jesus is supposed to increase and you're supposed to decrease? Now, you might increase in status. You might, God might grow your influence or grow, but the heart is always pushing Jesus up. It's not about self-exaltation. It's about exalting him. So when God begins to use you, you point people to him and not to think so highly of yourself because he put you there. John 4:4, I must go to Samaria, Jesus said. You know why this is so interesting to me? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, went to Samaria for one person. The people you watch on YouTube, some of the musicians, you know, the popular ones, and you kind of get hit this brick wall, you know, sometimes, well, unless there's only for this dollar amount, and only if my limousine is 75 degrees, and only if the, you know, it's not, I'm kidding about the limousine, but there's a demand and a uppityness, and when we start to God starts to use us, we start to get prideful and take glory in what he is doing, us giving us the glory. Pop star preachers and woke worship leaders love the scent of Babylon. And we start to get involved, even in church. Here are my demands. Here's what I want. God has used me before, and we come in like a steamroller. And we roll people over, and we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And what's crept into the church is the business model versus God's model. This is hard because I actually came from, not hard, but it's hard to watch. I know we don't really focus on the business model here, but I came from a business background. And when you come from a business background and you work for a large corporation like I did, which at that time was 24-hour fitness, many of you know, and I was a district manager and we had a board of directors and I had to hit certain revenue line items. And it wasn't about the people, it was about the money. And the people helped me reach the numbers. And many times, if we're not careful, we put profit over people, image over individuals, and revenue over relationships. That's when ministry becomes idolatry. And we know the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but so does success. People can be popular, but they have no spiritual power. They have ability, but there's tremendous arrogance. And there's gifting, but it's vain glory. Scripture that's always interested me, it's 1 Corinthians 11:31. Paul said, but if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under God's judgment. In other words, if we would examine our own hearts, are any of you tired of getting spanked by God? Chastised by God? Disciplined by God? Often, if we would just examine our own hearts, and repent, get rid of wrong attitudes, get rid of wrong thinking and wrong actions, we wouldn't receive the chastisement and judgment of God. Now, the context of 1 Corinthians 11, many of you know, is about communion. Of course, Paul said many people are actually sick and dead in the church because they took communion in an unworthy manner. And that's why he goes on to say, if you would just discern yourselves, if you just look within, look at your own heart, God wouldn't have to discipline you. God wouldn't have to judge your actions. And it's not like somebody makes a mistake and God judges them. It's a pattern, month after month, and often year after year after year of belligerent pride, that God finally says enough is enough. It's discerning our own heart. Like the world, is the blind beggar unworthy of our attention? And those four verses are so important that we should, what no flesh should take glory in his presence is basically no one should take credit when God begins to move in their heart. No one should begin to take credit when God begins to do something. And so many times we've seen it in the church, and it's really sad. People say, you know, I've been such and such for 5 years, or I've been such and such for 10 years, or I've cast out 10 demons, or I've led this kind of ministry. And it's puffing themselves up, and it's sad. Vainglory. No flesh should glory in his presence. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Isn't it hard though? Because as Christians, it's working within us. You know, you can sing, you want to be on the worship team. You want to be on the worship team, you want to be front and center. You want to be front and center, you want to be on YouTube, then you want to be on the radio. It's like this putting others before and let God promote you. Isn't that wonderful? When God promotes you, it's incredible. Sometimes people mail me things in the mail, or when I was at the Christian Broadcasting, I don't remember what it's called now. It's in Nashville. Usually it was in San Diego. It's a Christian Broadcasting Network or something like that. Big, big convention. And we had to put, we had to say where we're coming from, and I had like 91.9. I was there representing the radio station and the church, and all these guys were coming up like, oh man, you got to listen to my CD. Man, God, you got to put this on the radio. And I'm like, what is this? And it's just that self-promotion. And I know it's tough because we're excited about God, what God is doing, and we want to promote things, and you know, sometimes we should, if the heart is right. It's okay to spread that information about what God is doing, as long as the heart is right and we're not allowing our flesh to glory in his presence. And John the Baptist, this is incredible, probably second to only Jesus at that time. He was the forerunner. He was baptizing everyone. He was the controversial figure. The Pharisees didn't like him. And everybody said, but John, they're leaving you and following him. He said, that's okay. He must increase and I must decrease. And that position, to go up, you got to go down. To go higher, you got to go lower. And it's what's wonderful about going lower and humbling ourselves and doing all these things is as we go through and we humble ourselves and we put others first, there's tremendous peace that follows. The most miserable people in the church are prideful people. I just didn't get my way today. And I want this. I want like it's like a 10-year-old, actually a 5-year-old. Ever see him throwing temper tantrums? Well, that doesn't happen in your home. No temper tantrums. I've got my little 2-year-old on video and I showed her today. It was not pretty. Just kicking. I want. But it's no different in the church. We're just not kicking and screaming. We're backbiting and yelling in our heart. Give me, give me, give me. When ministry is idolatry and your calling is coveting, you're coveting other people's callings. You're wanting and desiring. I mean, think about it. So many people, you know, I want the anointing of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. But do you want to cry out like Isaiah? Woe is me. Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people with unclean lips and I have seen the King of glory. Oh, woe is me. You want that anointing? You better be broken like that. You better be humble like that. God can't use a man greatly until he hurts him deeply. He breaks him. He hurts him in a good way. And the anointing of God flows out of that brokenness. Do you want the anointing of David? David at the end there after Bathsheba, he's telling God, created me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within me that the bones you have broken may rejoice. God, return to me the years of your salvation. And the Bible says God, David was a man after God's own heart. He spared the life of Saul. He would walk before God. Yes, he was not perfect, but the anointing of David flowed from a broken, humble man of God. Same thing applies to us. Do you want the anointing of the New Testament church? Do you want to be used by God? Then you have to humble yourself and don't put other things before God. Watch out. God is a heart inspector. We can fool people, can't we? We come in, you're not going to know somebody's in a bad mood. They're angry. They're prideful. They're jealous. They're backbiting. They're gossipers. Not going to hear it. You're not going to know it. Maybe you might sense it, but God is the heart inspector. God knows. He searches the deep things of the heart. He knows the heart better than we do. And then one verse that's been just amazing for me from forward this morning, just writing it down and studying it. I want to put it up there from Isaiah 14 because what I'm talking about is I. I want this. I can do this. I'm an expert in this. I have this many years of experience here. I've been called to this ministry. I. And we read in Isaiah, I will ascend into heaven. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above God. The stars are going, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. And it's interesting. He's not saying here, I will be God. I will be like. I will. Now, the context is interesting because it begins with talking about the king of Babylon. Many people say, some people say, this is still talking about the king of Babylon. However, if you look at how deep this begins to go and just the context seems to support much more than the king of Babylon. This is where many say that this is a scripture about Satan's fall. Satan's fall from heaven. And because I love context, I can see both sides of it. And it's no doubt, though, this is what could have happened to Satan. That's why I don't say this is for sure Satan. This is how Satan fell, but it's probably more than likely what happened. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will. And so you have this self-exaltation because ascending into heaven is self-exaltation. Exalt my throne, my name. I will exalt my name above even God's name. The stars of heaven. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will lead the congregation. I will rule and reign in this area. I will ascend above the heights. I will accomplish more than anyone else. I. And it's that spirit of self-exaltation. And I realized this morning, what God is moving so powerfully here, so is the enemy. And if we're not careful, a movement can become just an afterthought. I don't want to build an idol factory. I don't want to lead a pride-filled church, and I don't want to fuel egos and build images. And breaking is painful, but it's powerful. Breaking is hard. But it's powerful. And if you're angry, you're missing it. You're missing. If you're angry at this, this is God working inside the prideful heart. Reflect on where our heart is at. Has idolatry crept in? Putting anything before God? Or coveting? Wanting or desiring something that is not ours or that God has not given us? Like I said, we don't want to build an idol factory. We don't want to lead and be part of a pride-filled church. And we don't want to fuel egos and build images. And so I think the reason the Lord put this on my heart this week specifically is because we've had two incredible weeks. I don't even know where to begin with the testimonies. You'll hear, I think, Sunday morning if she's going to make it out, but she came a few times from Ridgecrest and brought her parents. Her dad's not a believer. I don't know where her mom was at, but of all the nights, she brought him to the testimony and prayer night on Thursday. And we don't know what he thought or anything, but on Sunday morning, they were at home in Ridgecrest watching the live feed, and he decided to finally repent and give his heart to the Lord. And she'd been praying for that for years and years and years. And just the marriage is restored and the addiction's broken. It's just quite overwhelming. We'll be putting together the testimonies. But in the midst of that, I saw a lot of ugliness as well. True hearts came out, ulterior motives came out, jockeying for position. It was sad to watch. And again, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to you as a group. That can slip into my heart just as easily. But we have to be careful. When ministry is idolatry and your calling turns into coveting, God can't use a prideful person. I see so much potential in this church. And God is releasing that potential. But I see so many hearts stopping that potential. The excuses are endless. And I hear so many people, but I've been a Christian 20 years, or or I've been gifted in this area, or my ministry is this area, or I've done this, and it's a stench in the nostrils of God. No flesh should glory in his presence.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.